Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News, here with your host, Bravo and Botox, here to bring you all the Bravo gossip right before the long weekend. Maybe you are commuting somewhere or on a plane or in the car going somewhere for the long weekend. Maybe you're doing nothing and just, you know, hanging out at home and having a relaxing weekend. Whatever it is, I hope that I can provide you with some entertainment and a chance to not think about the fact that, you know, we're going to be going back to work slash school on Tuesday. I'm sure a lot of you have kids returning back to school. So all my best wishes to them, and I hope everything goes smoothly or as smoothly as possible. And before we get into the news, which there is a lot of today, this was a crazy Bravo news week. But before we get into that, I did just want to say that the news episodes going forward, so now that we're getting into the fall, are going to be coming out on Mondays. So this one is obviously coming out today, today being Friday. And then my next one will be not the Labor Day Monday, but the Monday after. So yeah, it's just, you know, with my work schedule and stuff going forward, it's just not possible for me to release on Friday. And I know I've been kind of all over the place in the summer, but a Monday is going to be my, you know, day that I'm aiming for. Okay. So you can get your Bravo Weekly News on Monday. If you are a Patreon subscriber, bonus episodes will continue to come out on Thursday. Now, in terms of other content for, you know, going forward in the fall, I'm going to kind of fly by the seat of my pants in terms of, like, you know, as the shows start airing, kind of see what's up. So, you know, for example, like when The Valley and Vanderpump Rules come back, I would definitely want to be doing, you know, the recaps of the after show again, because I know people loved those. I'm working on my next Richard Sisters deep dive. So there'll definitely be more content besides just the weekly news. And, you know, there's a lot of shows coming in the fall. We've got Beverly Hills. We've got Salt Lake City. We've got Potomac. What else do we have? Summer House is going to be a while, but I think we're going to have The Valley and Vanderpump Rules probably not till the spring. The Valley probably sooner, at least I would hope, but yeah, so we're going to see. I'm excited though. I'm very excited, and whatever other new stuff is coming out. Okay. So keep checking back, because there's definitely going to be more fun stuff. And once I have a more concrete update of any like extra podcast episodes I'm doing every week and when they're coming out, I will update you right away. All right. So let's get into the news, because obviously the big news is that Brittany Cartwright, I was about to say Taylor, Brittany Cartwright has officially served divorce papers to Jax Taylor. So, you know, we kind of knew it was going down this road. They're separated, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, this is like official. And, you know, I think it's a good thing, because I was a little worried that she wasn't going to go through with it. She was just going to like stay separated for a while and then maybe give him another chance. Especially when I heard he was going to a mental health facility, I was like, is that like his way of, you know, quote unquote, proving to her that he's changed and trying to get her back? But listen, he went, she served him papers. Now, maybe that's why he went. Okay. Now in retrospect, because what I'm hearing is that she did serve him with divorce papers on camera. So it was filmed, and this was, you know, confirmed by TMZ. However, what I am hearing kind of through the grapevine, which the grapevine being social media, I am hearing that actually she served him papers before, off camera, and that, you know, in true Vanderpump Rules fashion, they're going to sort of like, quote unquote, recreate it for the show. I hate to like be the bearer of bad news. This is according to @FaceReality16. This is according to a DM that they got from a source. Again, don't know if that's 100% true, but that is the proverbial word on the street. So, you know, they did not film together, right, for this like divorce scene. But what I've heard is that a third party, according to TMZ, brought the documents to Jack's Studio City sports bar owner. Okay, so not to the actual bar, but to him. That basically, you know, Brittany is the one who filed. She's the one who kind of like made that decision. This was last Tuesday while they were filming, apparently. Yeah, so it's pretty wild. I almost never thought I'd see the day that Brittany would kind of, I don't know, just get the guts together to really just stand up for herself and do this. And I mean, listen, proud of her. Good. So the other thing that we learned from this divorce filing is that Brittany wants basically legal and physical custody of their child, but allowing Jack's visitation rights. So yeah, like he wouldn't, you know, if she gets her way, he wouldn't have any sort of physical custody of their child or legal custody, but he would be allowed to visit. Now, visitation, I guess that could look different depending on the situation and what it is. But listen, you know, I guess there might be some people who are like, oh, that's sad. Like, shouldn't he have time with his son? All this stuff. I don't think that it means that he can't have time with his son. It just means that, you know, maybe someone else is going to have to be there, or Brittany might be, I don't know, or he'll just be able to visit. Listen, maybe this is good for Jax. I feel like Jax maybe needs a little bit of a wake-up call. I could understand, you know, that there might be some things that he's doing or taking part in that aren't in the best interest of a child. You know, I never think it's good for a child not to be around their parent, but sometimes if it's temporarily and they still get to see them, but maybe, you know, until he gets himself together, whether that's like drug use or whatever may be going on with him. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know what he's been doing and why, you know, Brittany wants it this way. I'm going to assume there's a reason she's doing it this way. I don't know. It's just, it's Jax. You know, if it was anybody else, I'd be like, but it's Jax. So it's like, and this whole like going to the mental health facility, there's got to be something that he did or said or something that we're going to see that going to the mental health facility is a cover up for, or is a like, look, I regret what I did and I'm changing, like something. Like, I'm just waiting. But I feel like, but maybe if there was, we would have heard. Maybe going to the mental health facility is so that he doesn't look so bad in the divorce. That could also be it. Like, oh, look, Brittany's so evil. She's divorcing me and trying to take my child away when I'm trying to be better, even though, like, it's Jackson. He's probably not trying to be better, but whatever. Okay. So it's going to be a very interesting season 2 of The Valley. That's all I'm going to say. I'm so excited for it. I really hope that it comes out sooner than later. And I just, oh, I can't wait. I really can't wait. Now, on that note about The Valley, a lot of people might have seen that Zach and Kristen Doty and the Miss USA woman, who, why can I not remember her name? It's like the season ended and I already blocked out half their names. Okay, anyways, the point is that they did this whole thing, and I think I talked about it last week, where they renamed, and I couldn't remember her name last week, I'm the worst, sorry, where they renamed the bar like Brittany Studio City or Brit Studio City or something like that, and they had t-shirts and all that stuff. And, you know, I took it as like they did it to probably make Brittany feel better, but then I was like, are they actually renaming it? I don't know, because there was a lot of headlines saying that. But there were people who were basically saying that them turning Jax's bar into Brit's bar was, you know, mean, and why do you have to do that? Well, he's in a mental health facility. So Zach has responded on his Instagram story. Okay. So he had a commenter who said this, @Brittany. So I guess they tagged Brittany, but it was in the comments of a post with all of them in the picture. So at Brittany, two wrongs don't make a right. If you're truly unhappy, just leave him, and rightfully so, with how you've been treated. But don't sink to this kind of game to impress Instagram or people who want to make you stir the pot. Your husband clearly has mental issues. Either find ways to heal and work with him or leave. You're very clearly an amazing woman and have had a heart of gold for years. This does not seem like something your mind would conjure up. Your family and child are more important than this. Your son's dad needs your support, whether it's as a wife or simply as a co-parent. I mean, that sounds nice in theory, but it's like, I don't understand how that is getting in the way of her, like, raising her son and doing the right thing in her divorce, because her friends gave her some t-shirts that said, like, Brit Studio City. It's not like Cruz drove by the bar yesterday and was like, hey, they changed the name. Like, he's like three or two. Like, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. I'm sorry. Listen, I understand what she's trying to say, like, don't be petty. But let me tell you something. Jax is going to be fucking petty. Jax is going to be planting seeds. Jax spent all of last season trying to convince all of us that Brittany was an alcoholic. And by the way, I know there's probably people listening who are like, she is. I still don't think she is. I think she was maybe drinking and partying more than she usually would because, you know, she just wanted to have fun with her friends and not think about her piece of shit husband. I don't know. Maybe that's an alcoholic. I know, but I bet you now that she's not with him, that's probably happening a lot less. I mean, Sheena already confirmed that all the vomiting has stopped. So that's something. Okay, so Zach responded to this commenter, by the way, and he said, I did this. I came up with it. We wanted to make her feel special for a night when she is going through so much. Her priority is Cruz every moment of every day. My priority is to make sure my best friend makes it through this tumultuous time in her life being fully supported and uplifted. That's what this night was about. So y'all can say what you want, but you know nothing about what is going on. So please stop bringing Brittany into your hateful comments and direct them towards me. Thank you. I mean, yeah, good job, Zach. Jack, I was about to say Jack. Listen, I think she was just having a fun night. Her friends put it together. They put up a little paper sign or whatever, a fabric sign over the original bar, and they made some t-shirts. Everybody calm the fuck down. That doesn't mean that, like, you know, Brittany's trying to, like, tear Jax's life apart. Jax will do that all by himself. Okay. And can we stop pretending that Jax needs all of us to jump in to defend him like he's some helpless poor victim? He's not. Okay. He is so not. If we had a camera on that man 24 hours a day, I think we would all never be able to look at his face again. I can't even imagine the kind of shit that guy says behind closed doors and the kind of shit he does behind closed doors. Listen, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy watching him. Because he's a entertaining train wreck. But let's stop pretending that he's like a good person who just has some, you know, issues with depression and anxiety. And that's why he is terrible in every aspect of his life and treats women terribly, especially. I don't think the type of like mental health issues that Jax has are the type that can be, again, solved by going to a facility for 30 days. I just don't. Okay. And from what I've heard, he's been out and he's been drinking and partying like crazy since he's been out. Okay. So Valley news. That's Valley news. What should we go to next? I think we should go to actually Vanderpump Rules because it just kind of makes sense and it's quick. There's a rumor that's floating around that basically like the next season is going to start filming in October. It's going to be the final season for this cast. And then they are completely rebooting it. They're going to go back. They're going to find actual servers from Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant. It's going to be like a total reboot. So the Sir Rules Instagram put this up and then James commented on it and said, y'all think you have it all figured out, huh? With a crying face emoji. So seems like that's not true. So I just wanted to put that out there in case there's anyone listening who saw that rumor and thought it was true. On the other side of Vanderpump Rules news, in a weird twist, we have Miss Jo, as in Jo, who, I don't know, somewhat dated Schwartz, had a situationship, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so Jo posted this like weird, which like everything she posts is weird, but she posted this Instagram reel kind of video compilation of all these moments of like moments, video clips, pictures of her and Schwartz, who, by the way, has blocked her and has a girlfriend. Okay, so he posted all of these, and this is what she wrote as the caption. Seeking closure for myself, here we go. Wishing the best for him. P.S. It took me months to post this, but it's so sweet. I wanted the world to see and know how wonderful whatever this was. It was nothing. It was a situationship. And this is what makes this so cringe, is that you're making like a collage and this like sentimental reel of a situationship as though it's like an anniversary post. And also, like I said, the guy blocked you and has a girlfriend. Like, this is just weird behavior. It is just so fucking weird. And then, like, I think it's time to move on, Joe. Like, she has every right to be heartbroken and to have feelings for someone even after they've dumped you. All that is fine. But to kind of post this, like, compilation, it's just, and with that cat, like, why do you want us to all see it? What is it going to do? Maybe it's healing her in some way. That's hard for me to understand. But she wants, I want the world to see what this was. Like, yeah, we kind of saw it already on Vanderpump Rules. Like, unlike, you know, the majority of the world, you're on a reality show, or you were. So we actually did get to see. And what we saw was a guy playing you. So you don't need to show us again. We get it. So she then, like, soon after she posted it, she was getting a lot of people being like, what the fuck? And then she changed the caption. I don't have the changed caption, but she did change the caption. And then today she posted on her Instagram story on the create mode. It's my journey, my feelings, and my choice when to share them. I don't need anyone else's approval for what gives you closure. Love you all who have supported me. I mean, that's true. You don't need anyone else's approval. You can post whatever you want, but you also know you have all these followers, and you know the Vanderpump Rules audience is going to respond, and you know if you put it out there, people are going to criticize it. You could have made the compilation and just sat there and watched it. Like, you didn't have, like, I don't know. You can't. I hate when people put up stuff like that who are in the public eye, like celebrities, and then they complain when the audience has a reaction. Like, don't put it up. Okay. So let's go on to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because there is some big news here too. There's lots of big news floating around. So first and foremost, to continue from last week, I gave you the details of Tom Girardi testifying in his trial. Well, he was found guilty of embezzling more than $15 million, which is, I mean, how long has it been since all this started? Like, this was all started like 2020, and now it's 2024, and like, I kind of was at the point where I was like, we're never going to see the day that this man goes to trial, and we're never going to see the day that he goes to prison. But we're here. It's here. He's been found guilty. And I guess they didn't believe his, you know, his fake Alzheimer's and him trying to pretend and fake it on the stand. I mean, he was found that, you know, completely sound of mind and fine to testify. And I do think that the timing of it is just a little suspect. Okay. So after less than a full day of deliberations, on Tuesday, a federal jury found Tom Girardi guilty of embezzling more than $15 million from his firm's clients. The verdict adds a criminal conviction to Girardi's collapse over the last few years, falling as he did from the heights of Los Angeles law. Tom is facing up to 80 years in prison. So that is from Vanity Fair. Listen, I know probably you're all thinking the same thing as me, which is that, okay, well, 80 years, I mean, he's pretty old anyways. But yeah, I wonder if this is going to be talked about on Beverly Hills. I'm sure Erica every season is like, okay, guys, this is it. This is going to be the season where I don't have to talk about Tom, and I don't have to talk about, you know, the fraud trial and such, et cetera. And then they come out with this guilty verdict and he took the stand. So I'm sure she'll be asked about it by her castmates, namely Sutton and Garcelle, because if they weren't on the show, nobody would ask about it, because we'd have, you know, that stupid alliance with the rest of those girls. So that's pretty wild. He's going to be going to jail for like the rest of his life that he has, which I don't know how much time he has left, but yeah. Okay. So let's get into another legal matter involving men from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which is that Mauricio Umansky is being sued for allegedly obtaining $3.5 million in fraudulent pandemic relief loans. Okay, so according to Us Weekly and documents, court documents that they obtained, Umansky applied for and received two Payroll Protection Program and CARES Act loans in the total amount of $3.5 million. Okay, so this program exists because it's supposed to basically help prevent the termination of employees by providing loans to businesses that were, you know, unable to pay their workers during the pandemic. Okay, so the lawsuit says that Mauricio's company falsely certified their need for the loans to pay their employees. And it states that the agency applied for and received exceeded the loan limit of 2.5 monthly salary with a cap of 100,000 annual salary per employee. So I guess what they received and applied for exceeded the cap amount. So then why did they get it? That's always my question. Like, why was it even given in the first place? I don't know. Maybe it was a mistake. And then in correcting that mistake, they realized also that he had falsified the docs, right? Like, that doesn't, like, I'm not saying that if they made a mistake in giving him more than the cap, that that means he's innocent, because I don't think that he is at all. But basically, Realtor LLC alleged that Mauricio's company would have been very minimally impacted by the pandemic shutdown because their revenue comes from real estate transactions, and they are typically between millionaires and billionaires, not like regular people, you know, who are unable to like buy goods because of the restrictions from the shutdown. Like, it just wasn't the same. And the filing claimed that the agency's business grew massively during the pandemic by earning $6.5 billion in 2020 and $11.2 billion the following year. I mean, fucking Mauricio, right? So basically, the defendants would have retained significant reserves to continue to pay their employees. Like, they had enough profits to pay everybody, you know, and to do anything else would have been just irresponsible and immoral. So Realtor LLC wants them to pay back the amount that they were loaned and also wants the agency to pay, like, you know, extra, basically, for the problems that they caused and, you know, not literally pain and suffering, but just extra back to kind of make up for what they did wrong and for lying, etc. And obviously, Mauricio and the agency deny that they did anything and say that they never misrepresented themselves. And, you know, they've always done what's ethical when it comes to business transactions. All right. So Mauricio getting in a bit of trouble there. I mean, my first thought was like, when I saw the headline, I was like, ooh, maybe things, you know, there's going to be a lot of things coming out and coming at Mauricio. Maybe that's part of the reason that Kyle left. It was like, you know, the house of cards will come crashing down. But I don't think so. I mean, he could pay this off like no problem and be fine. So I don't really think that's why, unless there's like some other big scandal that I don't know about yet that's going to come out. You know, this is like a small to medium scandal at best. It's not like the Tom Girardi. It's not Tom Girardi level, you know? Okay, so what are we going to talk about next? Let's talk about some OC news. So we have more news that is disturbing out of OC. And that news is that John Jansen and Alexis Bellino are engaged. Yay! That was sarcastic, in case you couldn't tell, but she posted on Cloud 9, heart, a bunch of hearts, celebrating 9 months of love and laughter and looking forward to my forever with you. Every moment together has been a gift. I am so in love with you and the beautiful life we're building together. And the answer is 1,000 million time percent, whatever, yes. And then she has a Bible quote, which, I mean, I don't know if you can put a Bible quote and then have John Jansen right after it, but whatever. Anyways, so Alexis is very happy and, you know, John looks happy in the picture and she's wearing a big fat engagement ring and all that jazz. I have to give TMZ some credit because they had the funniest headline about this. I just, normally I'm not like, let's read other headlines, but this is really funny. Okay. RHOC star Alexis Bellino says I do to Shannon Sloppy Seconds, officially engaged to John Jansen. I mean, that really sums it up, doesn't it? So it seems like on this season, obviously the season's done filming, so we're not going to have like the engagement on this season that we're watching, but we did see the mid-season trailer, and in it, there's a scene where Alexis is like FaceTiming with, I can't remember who, like Tamara or whoever, and she's ring shopping. So we knew that this was coming, you know, and she had the quote unquote promise ring. I mean, 9 months is very quick. Now, is it quick like when you're older and you kind of more, you know, assured in who you are and you know what you want in life and it's not your first time around and all that kind of stuff? Not really. Like, I do know people who've been engaged quite quickly and then have been happily married for years after and still are and all that kind of stuff. But I think the reason that this is quick is because a lot of their relationship has been wrapped up in sort of being like a united front against everyone else. You know, it's like they've been together and then they're like united by their mutual disdain of Shannon slash, you know, fighting off internet trolls, etc. And I mean, and like proving to everyone how in love they are. So I'm kind of like, is that going to last? Like, once it all fades away and no one gives a shit and already people don't really give a shit. I mean, listen, I mean, people give a shit in the sense that there's a lot of people paying attention to it, but eventually it'll be like one of those things that, like, you know, people are just not even going to pay attention to. I don't know. Is he going to stay this like romantic, magical man? Like, right now, I think he's doing his sort of like formula of love bombing her and, you know, going above and beyond and all this kind of stuff. But is that going to last forever? I don't know. I highly doubt it. And I do not on any level trust this man. But listen, we know Alexis Bellino, her picker is terrible. I mean, look at Jim. Like, God, that was a disaster. And she was like, he's my king. Just terrible. And even like this season, we've barely even really gotten to know her because all she does is talk about him. Like, she's very, it's like her identity is always very wrapped up in her positioning next to a man. It's like she needs the man to, like, you know, what's it called? Validate who she is, right? And it's like she's always exists as like a couple with someone instead of like standing true in her own or being independent. Like, even every scene is this like John. Like, we didn't get to learn anything about her. And granted, some of that could be editing, but I think it is also that she came on, you know, with this vendetta to take down Shannon. So most of what's coming about, you know, out of her mouth is John Jansen related. And it's just kind of sad. Now, in other RHOC news, we do have some news about Katie and her ex-husband, Andrew Sunseth. So Katie, I think on this week's episode, I liked her. I thought she was funny. And I also thought it was interesting, some of the talking and discussion about her ex and how they have kind of a tumultuous relationship. Her daughter doesn't talk to him, but her son has chosen to live with him. So, you know, it is, she's got an interesting backstory and I do want to hear more about it. But there was a story that has come out in, I think it was In Touch, but basically that RHOC, Katie Janella's ex-husband, Andrew Sunseth, called 911 and told police she cheated on him. So this was back in 2015. Okay, there was a police report and basically the police responded to a call at Katie's house. And the call was from her then husband, Andrew, and this was around 8 p.m. But then what it says later in the article is that, and this says that this is said in the actual police report, is that they actually both called 911 after having a dispute. The first thing I thought of was Alexis from Real Housewives of Miami. Remember when they found out that Lenny was cheating on Lisa and Alexis is like, call 911. Like, it's like, why are we calling 911? Because someone cheated. Okay, but obviously I'm joking and there's more to the story. So basically Andrew told police that they were arguing about Katie cheating on him with another man. And Andrew said he suspects the cheating has been going on for months after reading text messages between his wife and the man she has been seeing. Andrew said during the argument, he attempted to grab his wife's cell phone from her while she was still holding it, which you shouldn't do that. Andrew said he pulled on the phone, causing his wife to be pulled and fall to the ground. Oh, see, that's not good, Andrew. That's not good. Listen, you're allowed to be pissed about the cheating, you're even allowed to raise your voice. Okay, I'm sure you were both raising your voice, but like, I don't know, you pulled on her phone that hard. I mean, I guess she was probably holding on for dear life because she didn't want him to see the text. But anyway, it's messy either way. So the report also said after getting the cell phone from his wife, Andrew said his wife began slapping him on the top of the head in an attempt to get the phone back. Andrew said he did not want his wife to go to jail. Okay, so they both, you know, this was a, it doesn't sound like either of them is like a quote unquote, you know, physical abuser on the regular or something. This just sounds like a really messy situation. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, you never know, but it doesn't sound like that to me. It just sounds like she's like, give me my phone back, you know, and he took it away from her without permission, obviously. Katie also spoke to the police and told them that during an argument, Andrew did try to grab the phone. She held on to it, which caused her to be pulled. So they kind of both confirmed each other's story, basically, and neither of them wanted to press charges, okay? The officer also said that they saw no injury on Andrew or Katie, and yeah, both of them were able to call 911 without any interference from the other. So I guess the 911 call was like they both kind of panicked and they both were physical. They probably both wanted to be like the first to report it and talk about it. And then, yeah, I think that's kind of what happened. Now, the unfortunate part of this is that their 11-year-old son did see the incident and said to the police that he saw Katie like hitting his dad to try to get the phone. So that's not good. But, you know, they got divorced and in their settlement, Andrew was awarded primary custody of the kids. I wonder if that's partly because she had an affair and he could prove it. I wonder. I don't know. But basically, per the court documents, Andrew was pulling in around $7,000 a month and Katie's income was like $37,000 a month. But she was ordered to pay $1,200 a month in child support. And then she filed in 2018 a petition to modify the custody agreement. And he accused her of failing to pay her court-ordered child support and forging his name on student loan documents. Wow. She denies that, but she does admit that she wasn't paying the child support. So eventually, though, they worked out a deal where she would have custody of their daughter and he was awarded custody of their two sons. That is so rough. Like, I just can't imagine as a mom, like, just not being around like two of the three of my kids full time or like close to full time. It just sucks. It really sucks. And I'm not saying like, you know, it doesn't seem like she's innocent in this situation, but it's just, it's terrible, especially for the poor kids. Okay. So, let's go on to something a little bit lighter. We can talk about Summer House, okay? Summer House news is often light, just like the show. But Amanda had her, like, swim, you know, I don't know, launch party or whatever. And there was a bunch of pictures posted, etc. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I've seen quite a few pics from the event. And I have yet to see any actual bikinis, okay? So the only thing you can really see, like, in the pictures, there's like, it says Bikini Babe, and then there's, like, a, you know, like, a hanger and, or a rod with a bunch of cardboard cutout bikinis hanging from it, but I haven't seen any actual bathing suits. And, like, no one's posted them. Like, not Lindsay, not Sierra, like, no one. So I'm like, what? I don't know. It's just weird to me to have a launch party and there's no actual bikinis there yet. Like, is this just to like, is this like a brand awareness party or something like that? I mean, if it is, I hope they sort of label it as such and are clear about it. Cause you know, right now it's giving like a fashion show with no fashions. How dreadful. And it's funny cause it always, you know, she always reminds me of Carl in a way. Like, it's like they do stuff, but they kind of do it like half-assed. Like even Carl right now, like he's like driving around with this truck, you know, he's like selling merch, but like there's no actual bar. Like right now it's like a pop-up truck, I guess. And I'm not saying that's not a thing. I'm just saying it's like, you know, there's no actual bar. Like he hasn't, and I don't know if there ever will be. And I'm kind of like, Amanda, is there going to be actual bikinis? Like, I guess because she's affiliated or she's doing a line for this already existing company, there probably will be. But And who knows, maybe she had to have the party now just because of like summer house scheduling and filming. I could understand that. That's a possibility. But you know, so Amanda also posted this other like weird cryptic, it's not even weird or cryptic. It's just weird. She posted this on her Instagram story. It's just a black background with plain white writing. No gifts, no images, no like nothing fancy. She didn't even like choose a nice font or anything. Congrats on 159 million at I'm Kyle Cook. No explanation. 159 million what? Like cans of Loverboy? That's the only thing I could think of that made sense. And then, of course, I made a joke like how many times he's cheated, obviously. But, you know, obviously I'm joking. But it's like, it was just a weird thing. Like, I'm like, are they? I don't know. I'm just getting like a vibe. I don't know. I don't know if things are good between them. I'm very interested to see this next season. I feel like we're going to see some serious conflict. And I think this relationship is, it's on its last legs, in my opinion. Okay. Now, Lindsay was also on the Housewives Nightcap podcast, and she was interviewed and, you know, they asked her about moving in with her boyfriend. And surprisingly, she said that she and her boyfriend will not be moving in together yet. Okay. Which, that's, it is a little surprising considering like she's got a fairly big apartment as far as New York City goes. But the other thing is that she's having a baby, right? But one thing she said was that he lives like a block away, I guess, on the same avenue as her. And that, you know, when they have the baby, he's going to be sleeping over like every single night. And but it's not going to be like an official move in because despite the fact that they're having a child together, it is still a fairly new relationship. And basically her explanation was, we want to slow down all the other aspects of it, you know, so that we don't go too fast and ruin it. I don't know. Maybe this is paranoia from how fast things moved with Carl. Maybe she's being extra cautious, but then it's like, you're not being cautious because you're already having a baby. But maybe the baby wasn't planned. I don't know. Well, I just don't see how it couldn't have been. She was clearly not like, okay, she's probably not on birth control or what I'm going to assume. Because I'm assuming like, I think Lindsay's at the point in life where she's like, if I get knocked up, I'm happy about it. Right. Which, totally. And if he was game for it, also great. But listen, it's, you're having a kid. A kid is the hardest thing you can do in a relationship. It's harder than moving in. It's harder than getting married. Having a kid will test a relationship more than like literally anything. So that's why I'm just kind of like, you're having the baby, you might as well rip the Band-Aid. But at the same time, listen, if they want their own space, it's up to them. It's 2024. It's a modern world. People are doing things differently. At the end of the day, what the hell do I care? Okay, so anyway, just wanted to update you guys. I'm like, what the hell do I care? Well, I'm here telling you, so I must care on some level. It's just like, it's nice to get like an update sometimes, you know, when one of the cast members of a show is pregnant, what's going on? What's next? So another big thing happening is, where am I here? I did that. Oh, yeah. So a little bit of kind of old school Real Housewives of Potomac news. So a lot of people remember Katie Ross, who was on Potomac for the first like two seasons and or three even maybe. And then she was like, you know, a friend of, popped up here and there. Katie's always been like a character, quirky, weird, different, very beautiful. And I know she's had a lot of issues with mental health, like serious, serious mental health issues. There's been times where like she's said things, posted things on social media where people have been worried about her and like seriously concerned. Now, she did post something the other day that was quite shocking. It was a picture of her and Chris Samuels, as in Monique Samuels' ex-husband. So that's why I say old school Roni, because we also have Monique in here. This is her caption. Katie's caption was, I flirt hard and when I see a good one, I go for it. When Mr. S steps into the building, Katie says, oh, yes, he is such an incredible human. Thanks for welcoming me back to Potomac. Okay. Everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, Katie and Chris Samuels are dating. Like, this was everywhere last night. However, I have heard that she is not actually dating him. This was just kind of like Katie pulling a little bit of a prank on all of us. So well done, Katie, because I did fall for it for a minute. All right, so let's go on to a little update about Real Housewives of Miami. Just wanted to let everyone know that they have finally started filming for the next season. Hallelujah, because I was worried it was going to get canceled or something like that. And we also have confirmed, we know, what's her name? Larsa Pippen's coming back, Alexis is coming back, and Lisa Hochstein is coming back. And she confirmed that in a comment on Instagram. And the reason I know Alexis is coming back is because there is some footage of her filming for the show, which, I mean, it makes sense. You know, Todd has divorced her. You know, Lisa and Larsa are just good villains, so they make a lot of drama. And yeah, I'm excited for the new season. And it is really a travesty that it took this long for them to start filming again, to be honest. All right, so let's also talk. We have some quick New Jersey news, which is that Tamara Judge, and I know she's not from New Jersey, but she's got her little two T's in a podcast. And she, on the podcast, says that someone told her that Danielle Cabral actually beat up her brother's wife. And that's why they don't speak, allegedly. I don't know if Danielle Cabral has responded to this. As far as I've seen, I haven't seen anything, which that's a little suspect because Danielle, you know, she likes to respond. Like when any of those like hairdressers or people have said anything, she's responded like right away within a day. She hasn't said anything about this. Now, Tamara did say like a few times, like, I don't know if this is true. I'm not saying this is a fact, but I was told this. Listen, I don't know if it's true either. To me, this could go either way. The sad part is if it is true, I wouldn't be surprised. Just based on her, like she has a very short temper and she does jump to physicality quite quickly. So I could see that if she was not getting along with his wife, I could see her, you know, lunging at her or something. I can totally see it. I really can. I can also see that, you know, this could be a rumor just based on like she's had a couple violent outbursts on the show. So now someone's jumping on that. So who knows? All right. So let's go to some Dubai news. I was saving it and I want to end on it because there's so much and it is so good. If you're not watching this season, like, I'm sorry, you're just missing so much. But they have filmed the reunion and you think, you know, they had the reunion, they filmed it, they got everything out of their system, they said everything they wanted to say, but no, oh no, they're on social media and it's like I'm watching a reunion happening on social media. And it's, listen, if you don't like them all talking about it, just mute them. But I am enjoying every second of it and I have, you know, my popcorn out, etc. Okay, so we'll start from the beginning. So we have the whole idea that, you know, the whole spa thing, right? The whole idea of the spa was upsetting to Brooks, right? Because she felt like, it's so stupid, but we saw in this week's episode, she felt like Lisa was like stepping on her business and her business model, okay? And then Brooks is like, you know, everyone is kind of like, okay, Brooks, you know, calm down. Like, you know, maybe you're overreacting about this, or Brooks like gets so mad about everything, that kind of thing. So Caroline Brooks took to Twitter, she does, and basically said, okay, let me find it. She said receipts in the first slide, and these are all screenshots from WhatsApp conversations, which I will read. So she says, in the first slide, it shows the image that Caroline Stanbury sent me of the setup of Lisa's event. Then she called me. As mentioned before, Stanbury was the one who had the issue with it first. Sergio had a lot to say too. I'm green, text, Talene is white. Okay. Then Caroline responds on Twitter and says, and they're all like, honestly, this whole cast uses Twitter. I love it. Okay. So, cause there's a lot of casts where like maybe only one person uses Twitter. A lot of times, like, Twitter's not as popular with some of the housewives, but this cast it is. Okay. So Caroline Stanbury responds and says, actually, you called us going nuts and asked us to send a photo, which I did, but okay. And then Caroline Brooks responds to Stanbury and says, also, can we address what happened when you and Talene tried to change the narrative at confessionals in New York after Talene forgot she already told Lisa that it was all you when we were in Lisa's hotel room at JA Golf Resort? Okay. So basically what's happening here is, I'm going to go to the text. There's a picture of the spa and it has like, you know, all the Mina Rowe like decals. Okay. And the picture is sent from Caroline Brooks to Talene. Okay. And apparently Caroline Brooks got this picture of the Mina Rowe spa from Caroline Stanbury. Okay. And Brooks is saying that she's, you know, Stanbury sent me this picture. And then I spoke to her and Sergio and they were like, what the fuck? How come Lisa is like putting all these decals all over this spa and acting like Mina Rowe is a spa when it's not, like, whatever. Who knows what they said? Okay. So this is what Caroline Brooks is saying they said. So then Talene in the messages says, I know I saw this with like, you know, a face, what's it called? A hand on the face emoji where you're like, ugh, like shaking my head emoji. That's what I was going for. And then Brooks responds and says, unacceptable. Caroline sent this to me. Okay. So there we have, you know, proof Stanbury sent it to her. And then Talene says, agreed. So I guess Talene thinks also that it's unacceptable. She told me, don't watch her stories. And then Talene says, it looks like her spa. And then Brooks says, she said they have to clean this up. It's absolutely not okay. Sergio saw it yesterday. He told me and was like, what the fuck? Now everyone understands. And then Talene responds and says, no, it's not. Raph agrees as well. But I don't think it was Lisa's intent. In all cases, network should have been aware and not okayed it. And then Brooks says, correct. But it happened and someone allowed it. Now it has to be fixed because it's not acceptable and it shouldn't have even taken place. It's not cool. Branding a spa with sticker decals and signage, doing massages on the show. This is my entire business model. And then Talene responds, I know. Lisa needs to get off her high horse. It's exhausting. Okay, so those were all the messages. And then, oh no, there's more. Sorry. And then Brooks also says, I don't like my toes being stepped on. I've worked really hard to be where I am. I support all my friends and their businesses. I'm really upset, Tal. It's not cool. I'd do anything for my friends. I want to see them win. I expect the same in return. I don't like what I saw today. And that was a direct conflict in my business. And nobody can deny that. It made me uncomfortable and extreme. Like, she is just going on and on. Whew. Okay. So basically, you know, Brooks is trying to say, and the reason I think she's posting all this, she's trying to say that like everybody else thought it was fucked up too, not just me. And by the way, Stanbury's the one who planted the seeds because her and Sergio sent me the picture and got all riled up. But then Stanbury's saying, no, 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 you called me and you were freaking out and asked me to send the pictures, right? Listen, I think probably what happened is that, you know, both of those are kind of true. I think Brooks was freaking out because this was on like Lisa's Instagram stories too. So I think Brooks was freaking out. I think they, you know, Stanbury and Sergio probably told her what she wanted to hear. And guess why? They don't like Lisa. Stanbury is very open and honest about, not to sound like Kyle Richards, but open and honest about she doesn't like Lisa and Lisa doesn't like her. They don't like each other. So of course Stanbury's going to be like, oh, you're mad at Lisa and you're going to start a drama about it. You want me to send you some pictures? Would be happy to. And let me also call you and let me talk to you on the phone and I hear you're upset. I'm going to just agree with everything you say and get you all gassed up. Because then good, you'll have an argument with Lisa and I don't have to do it. Like, of course Stanbury's going to do that. Of course. I think the thing that pissed everybody off was Talene. Because Talene was kind of like playing so two-faced, like acting like she was like acting like she was Lisa's friend, but then also jumping down Lisa's throat when she did confront Brooks. Like that was what was fucked up. So Talene also did respond to all of this. And she said, now this is comedy. What are you trying to prove here? I was trying to diffuse it while still trying to calm you down. You were going nuts. Nuts is in capitals. Do you want me to share the messages you've sent me about Lisa? Should we go there? And then Caroline Brooks responds and says, be my guest. And then Talene responds and says, I won't do Lisa like that. Moving on, boo. You know the truth and so does Caroline Stanbury. You lost your shit and we tried, as did production, to reason with you and talk you off the ledge. Anyway, I'm bored. Good night. I believe that. I believe that the catalyst of all of this was Brooks. And I do believe that Brooks was going absolutely nuts and was on the edge. And the reason I believe that is because I watch her do it on the show all the time over nothing. Listen, that's kind of her personality, which is why I actually enjoy watching her. Like, do I think she's like the best person or maybe the person I want to hang out with. No, but she's a good Housewives villain and she's very entertaining. Very entertaining. And the reason she's entertaining is because she's kind of like dysfunctional. She's a dysfunctional personality, right? So she's like, I totally believe she was losing her shit. But, you know, a lot of people who are also shady, who don't really like Lisa, were like, okay, like Caroline gassed her up. I also believe Talene is just kind of two-faced. And I think Talene kind of wanted to like back Brooks up because Talene had sort of gone against Brooks earlier in the season. And she wanted to show like, hey, I am your friend. Okay, I'll back you up on this. Because she didn't take her side about the underwear showing thing from earlier in the season. So I think that everybody was just kind of playing it in a selfish way. Okay. And listen, it didn't come off well, especially for, well, for most of the cast, especially Talene and especially Chanel Ayan, to be honest, because yeah, she was getting a lot of criticism on Twitter this week as well for the way that she was talking in the confessional about Lisa and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. Now somebody tweeted the fact that they think Lisa went too far by keeping the same energy and checking people for talking bad about their business. I feel like I'm being gaslit. And then Lisa Milan responded to that and said they wanted a reaction. They were in group chats plotting on me and my business the whole time. And it wasn't just Brooks, with a broken heart emoji. Listen, I see what Lisa's saying. I don't think that this is that big of a deal. Like I can sort of see what Brooks is saying, and that's a stretch. Okay, I'm being really generous. But overall, it's like she just wanted to have like a wellness day with like yoga or massages or whatever to promote her brand. So she had branding everywhere. I mean, it's not that different than when like Bethany had all the girls over to her Hampton house and there was like fucking skinny girl on the wall and everywhere. Like, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. I really don't. And I also understand like Glass House is like a beauty salon. Like to me, that's like you're getting hair and nails and lashes and stuff. Like this was more of a like massages, yoga. Like that's just not what I would think of with Brooks's salon. And maybe I'm wrong and I don't know enough about Brooks's salon, but I don't know. I just didn't get that vibe from it. And Lisa even tweeted that Glass House is beautiful, but I didn't consider it because it didn't fit for what Mina Rowe was going for. I mean, that makes sense to me. I'm not always on Lisa's side. That's one thing I like about this show is I'm not like a stan of anyone, except maybe Stanbury, ironically, because Stan's her last name. I do love Stanbury. But even Stanbury, when she's wrong, I'm fine calling her out. But with Lisa, like I like Lisa, but I can call out when she's wrong. But she's not wrong here. I really don't think she's wrong here. Like, sorry, I got to take Lisa's side on this because it's crazy. Oh, man, this whole thing is nuts. And I can't even believe this is a storyline. Like, I was shocked when Brooks was mad about this. Like, I can't believe she's mad about this. Like, so if they hosted it at like, I don't know, a banquet hall or a restaurant or something, would that be like, oh, they're stealing someone else's business? Like, I get it's a little different because she put the decals on the door and the sign. Like, I understand that, but it was just like a space that she rented out for the day. I didn't feel she was trying to say Mina Rowe is a spa. Like, I didn't feel that at all. And it didn't make me think, oh, we have a new spa owner who's like taking the place of Brooks. And ooh, like, I didn't think that at all. At all. Like, how does that step on Brooks's business? I understand the girls seeing it and maybe thinking it's a little cringe. Because did she go like way overboard with the decals? A little bit. Yeah, that I can see. But that's it. That's all I can see. That's all I can give them. Okay, everyone. So we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you all have an amazing long weekend. Don't forget, if you're looking for more content, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. It's $5 a month and you get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. Thank you so much again and see you all in September. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox, And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/Bravo and Botox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.